Dynamite Download.
Dynamite Download, your home for all positive coverage on all the wrestling.
Special event! As you can see, STD.
We were born badass.
To see the height, and to see the commitment, and to see the drive. We'll see, yours truly, without a signature shade, STD once again.
Welcome to Dynamite Download.
Welcome everybody to AEW Dynamite Download, baby. Your home it's for positive coverage of AEW. And dude, SPD, man, it feels like each week it gets easier and easier just to approach these shows with a big smile on our face. My God, we were talking about it during the show. This AEW roster is just absolutely ridiculously loaded, dude. Just loaded with talent.
It is so deep, and Malakai Black needed a shovel tonight to keep digging because of how deep of the roster this is, man. It is.
Good point.
Every single week it's like a fresh episode because we saw the match card. I love that they do this master graphic AEW, props to them.
Really nice.
But just the way they blend it together so smoothly and give you a taste of what's in store for Dynamite, a big taste. And this was a completely different looking
2.0
one
this
night.
Week too, baby. I like that.
Man, I love taste. Man. We are totally on the road to revolution. This was, you know, we only had a few four-ish segments announced, and then we got that thrown in that Face Revolution match, and then the main event was thrown in there kind of last minute to the hype. But to kick things off, man, let's dive right into it because speaking of tastes, we got a big taste with that tag team battle royale kicked off. And you know, our guys, the Gun Club, didn't last too long. I mean, what I loved about this, man, was that those ass boy chants, I know they can't stand listening to them. They're just getting louder and louder and louder, and the crowd is just eating it up, man. I love what they're doing on social. I got to give props to these guys because they're leaning into that in the social. How they say no ass chants will be at all tonight. And even though their run was short and sweet in this match, I still think it was they're still near the top of that tag division. And just looking at this graphic, man, this depth of the tag division, as you said, man, it is the resurgence of the tag division is here, and we saw it tonight.
I had a feeling that this would be the year of the tag division. Like we talked about all throughout last year, It felt like AEW recognized the women's division needed a surge.
Sure.
With how limited TV time they have, you know, there's only so much they can put out there. But this is a great format to showcase the talent in this division. And what was great, too, SPD, is, you know, great graphic there. We got to see old school mainstays of this division. Mm-hmm. The Butcher and the Blade. Butch looked
loved
fantastic
seeing the Butch
in this
back,
match.
Man. He was just powerhouse Butch,
baby. Yes, sir. Santana Ortiz, the Bucks. You get to see some of those old school mainstays if you're an AEW diehard, rooting for some of those underappreciated talents sometimes, like we talked about. With Butcher and Blade, it was great seeing Alex Reynolds and John Silver. Silver really had a great showing tonight. But then we got to see the new talent, you know, Red Dragon coming out on top in this one. Really an awesome all around performance. A lot going on. I liked how this one played out too, where, you know, in typical battle royale fashion, it's all about having who has the leverage, who has the
outsmart
advantage, right? But it was really great to see at the end, you had representatives from Silver and Reynolds, you had Santana from Santana Ortiz, you had Trent from Best Friends, you know, you had Matt Jackson, and it just goes on and on. We had at the end, it felt like the last eight competitors. It was representative from each team, and I really liked that. I thought that it was a very smart story in this match.
You know, you mentioned a couple guys that really stood out to me, which was Trent and John Silver. I know the deeper storyline was going to be revolving around the Super Elite ultimately, which you're now reading between the lines. But to me, I feel like Trent is getting this big push as of late. I mean, he's been featured on TV a lot. He's had some high profile matches, both singles and tag matches. And tonight, I think he was one of the more courses of this battle royal. You know, he seemed like to have a target on his back, and I love seeing this side of Trent, this push of him. I mean, he deserves it. As we've said before, he is the workhorse of the best friends.
Exactly right.
And honestly keeps the coal burning in the best friends for all of us. And then same for John Silver. And I think like anytime he gets the chance to shine, he blinds the world, man. He's there and he's a light, you know, and
it was cool. My wife, she was watching the show with me at the beginning, and she was like, "Hey, didn't you interview that guy?" I was like, "Yes, we did. We had a couple moments in this show tonight where we could say, yeah, we interviewed that guy too. And that guy,
and this one really tomorrow. Cool.
And one of the, and I told her, "Hey, we get to interview this guy tomorrow." So
got a lot of great over the top rope.
It didn't last long for our guy, Austin, but, yeah, man, no, I hear you. You know, I thought the showcases for the workhorses, we talked about that, right? Dax was the representative for FTR.
Yeah.
Workhorseman of the pinnacle. We've been saying that all year. John Silver, the way his pinball offense, how much we love Johnny Hungy and his work ethic and how that motor on that guy. Trent, we talked about that guy as, like you said, the workhorse of the best friend, the guy who really feels like the difference maker in that group. I feel like Santana from Santana Ortiz emerged as the representative from that group. I feel like you could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And to me, when Kyle O'Reilly debuted, I tried to tell you right when that happened, I said, SPD, this is a guy to keep your eye on. His offense fits your bill, like as far as what you dig, dude. He's phenomenal at kicks and strikes. His striking offense is as good as anybody in the game. Right. And one of the things that I love that puts him over the top, and I know that you're a sucker for it too, man, the guy's facial expressions are incredible. That post-match where he was being held up by Adam Cole and Bobby Fish after taking a beating post-match by that buckshot lariat by Hangman, that's one of the things we love about Austin. When a performer is always on, it makes a big difference. And Kyle O'Reilly is that kind of guy. I have a feeling that Red Dragon's going to bring it at AEW Revolution, and you're gonna see more of what makes him special. Big fan of Kyle O'Reilly. I feel like he really takes this Red Dragon trio to another level. He is that guy to me that really stands out in that group. And that's I'm being honest with you, that's even with Adam Cole in the picture. I think that Kyle O'Reilly's offense, his striking, is my cup of tea, as they say. Big fan.
Pinky up with that cup of tea as well. And you know what? I'm very anxious to see, because you've sold me on him, which I don't know. I haven't watched, you know, much of his matches outside of a few clips here and there. You know, I didn't follow him in NXT, so I'm very anxious to see the taste that I'm getting. I love the kick combos that he does and the leg sweeping and all that. And so I think that I am all in, sold on this inner turmoil of the Super Elite and how Hangman is starting to tie into the fact. And we saw it tonight. Ooh. Hangman Adam Page came out to, was it just to avenge the Red Dragon? Was it to kind of come to the aid of his ex-best friends in the Young Bucks? And, you know, I'll say it once and I'll say it again. You know, I felt like the Super Elite breaking up is very compelling if you have that another leader of joining the Young Bucks, you know, and we're seeing that kind of emerge. You know, I thought it maybe would be a re-emerging Kenny Omega, turning babyface with the Young Bucks, you know, kind of resurging that. But Hangman kind of reuniting with the Young Bucks potentially to face Red Dragon and Adam Cole, which Adam Cole, his storyline is he's so torn. I mean, if you watch BTE, this stuff is absolutely gold with him and John Silver, which they're going to see next week. They're going to see Adam Cole going against his buddies, you know, Budge and John Silver, which they've been doing a lot of snuggling on the, in the bed. but this one, this is going to be a story of who's the better Adam. And I love Hangman's, his style of promo, sitting in the ring and calling him out and, you know, 6 feet now in the buckshot lariat bang. And so I love the combination of this promo that Hangman delivered. And I am so invested in this, not just this match, but what's going to unfold beyond with the super elite, the super clip.
That's one of the, and that's really cool to me too, man, because, you know, you even said it, you know, like you didn't follow these guys in New Japan. You didn't follow Ring of Honor. You didn't follow in NXT. You're an AEW diehard, right? And even with that, you can be incredibly invested in what's happening in this story. It's still gripping and compelling, even with that, just what you know what's happened in AEW. You know, all the drama that's happened with Hangman and the Bucks and Adam Cole and Kenny Omega, all that drama that's happened just within the construct of AEW television is compelling enough. But then for the nerds, the wrestle geeks out there like me, right? Like where you get to see like, okay, like I loved Undisputed Era in NXT. That was my jam. I had their theme song on my phone, you know, just, I mean, that's my group right there. And so I know the inner turmoil of Adam Cole and his relationship with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, how he turned on them and how, you know, and so you get to start to see like, all right, Adam Cole, his allegiance is always to himself. It's always serves his best interest. Which way is he going to go here? You know, and you're starting to see like him getting pulled in one direction. Really compelling, interesting stuff. And, you know, it sets the stage for a great pay-per-view that we talked about.
Oh, my gosh.
There are multiple stories that were built here.
Unbelievable.
That said, man, I got to ask you, was there a more compelling, emotionally a charged segment than what we saw from our good buddy Max tonight? He really pulled on the heartstrings.
I mean, this is you know, one of our biggest fans here on Dynamite Download is Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and you know, he's been glowing reviews of us, you know, calling us the drizzling shits and, you know, other odds and ends names that we don't want to get demonetized for. But as one of our supporters, we always have to talk about MJF and we have to give him props where it's due. But I'm not buying into any of this. You know,
you didn't buy in?
The human emotion obviously wants to feel sorry for someone, but this guy is playing the biggest possum, acting all sad and boo hoo woo hoo. The crowd should have chanted, "Shut the F up!" You know, getting bullied turns into the biggest bully on the block. Right. It does two wrongs don't make a right, right?
Good point, so SPD.
I'm calling possum. I'm calling all smoke and mirrors. You can never trust this guy.
Cody reference. I like
you. Can never trust MJF. I don't even care. And he even shed a tear for us on Dynamite. Boo, hoo, hoo. Here's a tissue. And MJF and CM Punk went kind of face to face and he was asking if it was true. You can see it was true. And he's walking away with his tail tucked between his legs. You know, I'm not trying to be not sensitive, but man, oh man, like he is playing us like a fiddle.
That's what MJF does, man.
Yes. Right. And you know, this story, I did enjoy his, I mean, the guy doesn't miss a beat. Give credit where credit is due. He's always delivers A+ gold promos, period.
You're right.
And this was another one of those. And he showed the fact that he literally shed a tear, attempted to make it real for us, but I'm still calling bluff and possible.
He had punk kind of. I know. Like, is this for real? Is this legit?
Do you think we'll see MJF crying and saying no, 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 and then CM Punk letting up a little bit, and then MJF just playing possum and capitalizing and beating him? I think we'll see something like that.
You can never put things past MJF. We've talked about it time and again. This guy always seems to be one step ahead of his competition, and it feels like, you know, this is an example where, man, we all saw the fire in Punk last week. And this is why you know, again, I'm sympathetic to what if MJF talking about getting bullied and all those things, it was tough to hear. Poor guy. I feel bad for him.
If it was anybody else.
But I think the timing is awfully convenient because we got to see a fired up CM Punk last week. We talked about it, cutting a promo that was so different from his AEW run so far. A promo that was characterized by his anger and his intent, that fuel that we've seen from Punk in the past. So it's awfully convenient that Max is now trying to soften Punk up a little bit, tug on Punk's heartstrings, get him to feel sympathy for MJF. A week after we saw Punk literally bring out a dog collar and talk about how he wants to paint Max's blood all over the canvas, right? This is an example of MJF trying to outsmart his competition here. I think he's digging deep into the bag of tricks of MJF. I think this one's definitely him playing possum, as you said. Very well said there, SPD.
Oh man, I'm very intrigued, man. This is a marathon pay-per-view, man. They announced three new matches tonight, and I mean, it doesn't seem like the end is in sight with it. And doesn't seem like the end is in sight with this feud. The House of Black just added another member.
How good was this?
But let's talk about everything from start to finish. This one,
was this good?
The rebranding of Penta, his entrance was chill-worthy. Chills on my arms when you just see his arms, big gloves over that gravestone, the shovel, man. I love Penta's this dark side gimmick and everything we're seeing out of him. I mean, he's already been one of my favorites and just such a charismatic, you know, showman in the ring. But this more aggressive dark side, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, we just need Ray to get healthy and for us to have a 3-on-3 battle House of Black and the Death Triangle. Does it get better than that 3-on-3? Does it? It doesn't get much better than that 3-on-3.
Absolutely, because Buddy Murphy is as like when you look at in ring competitors, you know I love myself the Bastard. That's my guy. That's my OG favorite wrestler. And when it comes to in ring skill set, Buddy Murphy is one of those guys who is very very similar to Pac in the ring.
I can't wait.
This is gonna be a bonkers feud. If you love yourself some pro wrestling, dial into AEW right now because the House of Black going against the Death Triangle is gonna be one of those where you just talked about it. The theatrics of Penta's entrance. We didn't even talk about the House of Black's entrance, which is like one of the more compelling, spooky, eerie entrances in wrestling. Just these guys know how to do it all. From the theatrics to the in-ring competition, it's just a perfect setup. And I kind of like how they played the Bastard as the one who could go toe-to-toe with Brody.
Sure.
You know, because we've seen what Pac can do in the ring. I liked that. I liked that little back and forth they had. And I don't know about you, I was so pumped to see the Death Triangle, to see Penta and Pac get the win tonight. I was
even
worried.
Though it was a roll up, and I'm anti roll up. I liked how it was done. I'll give
blocking the mist,
blocking the mist.
That was
we've
cool.
Seen
Come
Malakai
on.
Use so much and affect people so much. Obviously, blinded Pac for months, but it protects both teams. It gave us a win by Pac and Penta, who, to me, I think out-wrestled them last time they fought, and I think they should have got the win. But then it also negates that loss, and they still stand strong. So with that debut of Buddy Matthews.
Buddy Murphy. I don't know if he's going by Buddy Matthews in AEW, but Buddy Murphy was what he was over as in his previous life. And His in-ring work is second to none, dude. You're gonna love this guy.
I can't wait. That guy is huge.
Yeah, he's in incredible shape. And again, when I can compare him, and this is as big of a compliment as I can give, when I compare him to in-ring competitors, Buddy Matthews is apparently what he's going build as here in AEW. Call him whatever you want. When I compare his in-ring styles. This is as big of a compliment as I can give you. It is so much like Pac. If you throw these two in the ring together, bro, you're going to see some classics. Really, really talented dude. Huge get for Malachi. I like where they're headed with this. And like you said, Death Triangle versus House of Black, sign me up, bro. Right. This is going to lead to some great stuff. Can't wait.
I mean, just the physical build of Buddy, and then you have like this Jack guy who's it's very similar build to like Pac, and I can't wait to see that toe to toe. And then, you know, Brody King's like, I think he stood out more this week than the last match they had together. Just like his awesome power and just his look and his like, agreed, you know, the gate, I don't want to say gatekeeper, but he is like that big, you know, guard standing at the door, which we saw him standing on the ramp, just dismantling the security guards while the rest of the House of Black went to work, man.
I love how
fantastic storytelling.
Yeah. I love how you brought up Penta too, man. Obviously his new reincarnation is a whole other level. And as a guy, and this came out, my love for Lucha Underground, I've professed that, especially when we talked to Brian Cage.
Yeah.
I love Lucha Underground. And, dude, Penta, the dark side of Penta, oof, I'm telling you, don't
push this guy. He's already physical and tough.
Don't push this guy too far, because this is a man who loves to hurt people. Breaking arms is a passion of his. So I have a feeling that the House of Black, they have awoken a demon inside of him that's going to come out. And I don't know if they're ready for what they just bit off, man. This is going to lead to some awesome stuff. That post-match beatdown with Buddy, just brutal. The stomp into the chair, absolutely brutal. And you know that they're going to want revenge.
All rise for the House of Black, because they have just – they're going to take AEW by storm. Man, I'll let you lead into this one because I know we both – you know I'm a Jericho guy. I'm a Jericho-holic.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's done some controversial stuff and different directions, but I have always been a fan of him. And ever in AEW, he has never lost any steam to me. And continuing to just keep it fresh, 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 and fresh. And tonight was another one of those nights that is one that you should remember for a while.
Yeah, dude, this was one of the better segments of the whole night. I felt like everyone goes into this, right? Everybody knows that Kingston, that dude has the gift of gab. That guy can cut people down to size with a promo. We've talked about it over and over again. This guy's passion, his authenticity in promos is very compelling.
Right.
But to me, Chris Jericho, all I can say is I was blown away by this version of Jericho. He came out and he looks fired up, dude. He looks better in shape. He looks better than he's looked in a long time.
Yep.
And on the mic, dude, I said it on Twitter, man. It felt like he absolutely gutted Kingston in the ring tonight. All mad respect to Eddie. He came back at the end. He was able to counter Jericho and kind of gain that momentum back on his side. But I was absolutely blown away by what Jericho was able to pull off tonight. This dude pulled no punches. He called Kingston out. And, you know, some of the content, dude, like, basically you look like a jobber. I had no idea who you were. You can't win the big one. I mean, Jericho, and to his point, Jericho was touring the world winning championships in his 20s, and Kingston got his big break nearly 40.
Their
career trajectories couldn't have been any different, right?
I
thought that Jericho was going hard at Kingston tonight. It felt like there was some extra fire in his belly. You're a Jericho-holic. What'd you think, man?
I agree. You know, what really stood out to me was the fact that Jericho kept it so cool and consistent and clear. Like, he was trying to deliver a message. And, you know, I find this – I'm a big Eddie Kingston fan. You know, I love his story. I love his, you know, not the typical wrestler that you're used to, but clearly the fans are over for him and love him as well. But sometimes, this may be an unpopular opinion, but I feel like Eddie Kingston could be a little too hot-headed, just a little bit too hot-headed, where the fact that the segment sometimes can go off the rails. I feel like because he's so passionate and fire-driven that, you know, sometimes he doesn't let his opponents or his counter get the counters in. And tonight, Jericho handled that so well. He was letting Eddie talk, and then you could see Eddie wanting to interrupt. I don't know if they muted his mic or what happened, but you can see he was trying. He was trying to get that word in. And I feel like so often in those Eddie Kingston promos, he will cut off his counterparts and to trump those yes. points. And tonight, Jericho was – you know,
none of it.
And he proved, and he said he's, it's not Hangman. It's not Kenny. It's not the Young Bucks. He is the big one of the company. And the more and more and more we're getting this feud and this clash, I can't believe Jericho is going to put over Eddie Kingston. This is like the ultimate like pat on the back, because I feel like I completely agree that Eddie Kingston is going to win. And Eddie Kingston calling out, he wants the championship Jericho. He wants this Jericho. And I really think Jericho is at a point of his career where, you know, the loss won't hurt him. But for him to be selfless, to catapult Eddie Kingston to that next level, even though he's so over, it's going to be a really selfless act for Jericho. And I think, like, he's all for that. I mean, he's the influencer, the demo god. He's done it all. And for him to pay it forward to someone like Eddie Kingston, who has, you know, worked those bingo halls nonstop, has had that struggle. I think I feel like the smart AEW fans will see what Jericho is doing for him and really appreciate that. And so it's really not that Eddie needs to get any more over than he already is, but I think this is just going to be such a huge notch on his belt, man.
I can see where you're coming from. I'm actually shocker here. I think Jericho's got a little heel vibes on this promo tonight.
Well, and rolling up his sleeves when he's leaving,
I want to see more of this Jericho, and maybe at the pay-per-view Santana and Ortiz get involved, and maybe they play a role, because this whole feud really has been a lot about them. And right now they don't really have anything planned for the pay-per-view. That, you know, we saw them in the tag team battle royal tonight. They weren't able to pull out the W's. So I'd be intrigued to see how they play into this matchup. I'm actually pulling for Jericho to win this one. I think that Kingston's the same type of way. Kingston, we've seen, he can't win the big one. He's still been able to persevere and still maintain being relevant, being incredibly over with the fans. Yep. I get where you're coming from. Jericho doesn't feel like he needs this win. He could put Eddie over in a huge way in a professional stage. Yep. But there's also something about me where I'm thinking, and maybe I'm crazy here, but I love this iteration of Jericho. I would love to see him get a catapult, him to get pushed again. I'd love to see one last ride from Jericho. I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, I'd love to see this version of Jericho really get a push one more time to get that big run before he retires. I don't know, man. I think that even in the new AEW, even in this landscape of giant stars,
that's a good point.
This Jericho could go toe to toe with anybody. This Jericho could cut a promo battle with Punk, MJF. He could have a promo battle with anybody. This was not the fun and games Chris Jericho, as Eddie Kingston was teasing him about the mimosa. This was not that kind of Chris Jericho.
You're right.
This was the alpha, the pain maker type of Chris Jericho, who no joking, no nonsense. I was a big fan of what I saw out of the influencer Chris Jericho tonight. So regardless, this was another one. Set the stage for the pay-per-view. I saw this going blowing up on Twitter. People were saying, I want to buy the pay-per-view now because of what I just saw between Jericho and Kingston. So those two hit a home run in their segment. Wow. They sold that pay-per-view big time for a lot of people. You know, another thing that's selling this pay-per-view, especially to me, is this Face of the Revolution ladder match, man. The star power that's in this match. And although you and I were kind of had the – we were hoping that Dark Order's 10 We love ourselves some 10. We had an opportunity to interview 10 on our show. Great guy. Yeah. Great person outside the ring. Mm-hmm. And a guy who has who obviously JR was talking up what a big man he is, what a hoss this guy is, and just him fitting in that landscape of the ladder match with Hobbs and seeing him go in there with Keith Lee and the War Dog would have been crazy from a size perspective. But Ricky Starks' star power in that match, dude, this Face of the Revolution ladder match is quickly getting to be one of those matches that could steal that show. And on a pay-per-view that's loaded with matches that we wanted to see, matches that we didn't even know we wanted to see, this is a match that has so much star power and so much riding on the line. It's hard to pick a favorite. You know, you get Keith Lee, who's the brand new face, who's a big name, big star, but you have War Dog in there, who's one of our favorites. And I know, like, Powerhouse Hobbs, big dude. And then you get Starks, you get Team Taz represented by two of their top stars. Right. Very interesting where this is going to go, dude. What do you think about this match, and what do you think about the long-term implications when it comes to the pay-per-view?
I love that 10 was getting a shot at this, and I was really hoping, like you said, hoping for him to be in there. And then Hobbs and him could battle for the best spine buster of the night on that as well. And, you know, I've seen a lot of growth in 10's in-ring work as of late as well. So, you know, leaning into the crowd, I love that he's adding that delayed suplex. I mean, he did that on Adam Cole. He did it at Ricky Starks. I mean, his match against Adam Cole on Rampage was fantastic, in my opinion. I think it was one of his better singles matches and one that I felt like he really should have won. I mean, he out-wrestled him. He outpowered him. And then this was a surprise ending. I honestly thought that Starks he was going to win. And then Starks, you know, pulling on the mask and then gets that spear for the win. I felt like this was kind of a bad spot of the card because it felt rushed. You know, this segment from Jericho and Kingston, while it was our favorite segment of the night, it went long. So I felt like this is where they had to cut it a little bit. And so to me, I felt like this match was a little rushed. I mean, he had a marathon match against Adam Cole. To me, he should have had a little bit longer match with this one. Where they're going with the Face of Revolution, we saw in another announcement, Orange Cassidy versus Anthony Bowens. Everybody loves the acclaimed. Let's see some representation because Max Caster was in it last time, and so now we should see Anthony Bowens. I would love to see that.
You've been really talk about loving another yourself Haas. Bowens lately, dude.
Another Haas battle as well.
You're right. So now the big man.
I know you need a couple baby faces, though. So, but I would be – I really hope that – I mean, Bowens beating Orange Cassidy in a one-on-one match would be one of his –
huge
bigger bonus. Victories.
Absolutely. I feel like, yeah, I mean, you're right though. Babyface star power, they could inject that match with Orange Cassidy would work well in that format, I think. You know, like imagine him going toe to toe with a Keith Lee. Keith Lee, think about how far Keith Lee could launch him. Just, you know, there's a lot of potential there. And Orange Cassidy is one of the bigger stars in this company, even just from a live crowd. You talk about it all the time. Live crowds are eat him up. So you throw him in a match like this.
He's getting more and more over every week.
But
too.
I hear you though, man. I mean, Bowens has been, you've been saying it. He's been quietly, even though Platinum Max gets all the love and all the attention for being hilarious and creative on the mic. Bowens is really starting to stand out in a good way for the acclaim. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a good matchup, man. Can't go wrong with either one. Another like this match, I felt like you couldn't go wrong either way. Starks or 10, either outcome would have been great for the pay-per-view, right?
Yep, agree. And both ones for that. And so I'm wondering, did they announce it's going to be six contenders? And so we have our fifth being added and then potentially one more. I mean, we're on the road to Revolution. Revolution is, you know, what, 13 days away, you know, or I don't know, they remember exact, but very, very soon. So it's in 2 weekends. So not too far away. And we got that match starting to shape up, which hopefully will be shaped up by the end of Rampage next week or Dynamite. And then now
me pumped, dude.
Yeah. I think that one, I can't wait for our preview show. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some of our fans, special guests in there, giving us their, their takes, and it's gonna, we're gonna have our bingo card back. I always love our preview shows because it lets us really like fantasy book and have some fun with it with you guys as also. Stay tuned for our preview show. But another segue into that, you know, another women's title match online tonight, and which led to Ty Conti and Jade getting face to face in that. So that match
stage for the pay per view.
You know, I love that. You know, I agree with the announced team here. Tony Schiavone said this could have been Jade's biggest challenge to date. And I thought, you know, her match versus AQA was fantastic, fantastic pairing. Loved what we saw. And just to echo the commentators as well, like we're seeing new moves and new, you know, things out of Jade every single week. I love how she picked her up from the armpit and was like just, you know, just effortlessly the bunny. And Bunny is no slouch. I mean, she showed up well. So I think this was another one that maybe got cut a little bit short, but I think overall both women showed up really well. I love that at the end, you know, during how Jade's leaning into just, you know, the showboating, you know, doing pushups and flexing all match, how we're kind of seeing a little bit of that of Bryan Danielson as well. And then for her to stand alone in the ring with the mic, or with no smart mark, is another adding another step to her depth of her comfort level and her career and her character. Like, really, really enjoyed the overall segment and overall presentation of what Jade had to offer tonight on Dynamite.
Yeah, I feel like Jade's one of those characters. Like, you know, if you're a sports fan, right? One of the coolest things about pro sports is when you get an opportunity. You know, you follow a guy in college.
Yeah.
And you see, you know, their potential and their upside, and you follow their career, and then they make it big on the big stage, and you see that growth. You're like, man, I remember when he was a freshman in college. I love that pro wrestling, we get to see these characters grow and evolve and change. And Jade's one of those where you can look at her and say, okay, this is clearly a blue chip prospect. This is somebody who might have a couple flaws in their game. No sure. question. There are some things with Jade that, you know, is she perfect yet? No, she's new to this industry, and you could tell she's putting in the work. She's putting in the work to get better, and you can see things starting to click for her in certain ways where eventually these critics of Jade, like, oh, she can't go in the ring, eventually they're going to have to bite their tongue, because she's starting to get smooth. She's starting to gain, like you said, her offensive repertoire in the ring is pretty impressive from where she started to now. She's starting to showcase more confidence inside that ring. Jade never struggles for confidence outside the ring. She knows that she looks like a million bucks. She carries herself like she's a champion. She has the belt around her shoulder there. But she's starting to perform in the ring with that confidence. And that's going to take her to another level. And I agree with you. You put her in the ring with somebody like the Bunny, who we've seen has no problem putting other people over, but has grown a lot herself. And it was just a really good pairing. I'm excited to see Jade go against Ty Conti, because you just said Bunny was probably Jade's toughest test to date as champ.
Sure.
Ty Conti is going to really bring it to her. And that's another example of like two young stars that have huge upsides right there. You know that TK is going to be watching this one with, you know, both eyes glued to the match here, because those are two of the brighter young stars in the women's division. We get a taste of the future for AEW's women's division in that match. And when we look at the pay-per-view, you get to see Jade versus Conti, you know, really the young up-and-comers of this division. And then you get to see Thunder Rosa and DMD, really the two top stars of the division, the two veterans. Pillars. Yes, the two pillars of the women's division, really the backbone of the movement that really transformed the women's division over the course of 2021. It was that though the work of those two women that transformed that division. So we get to see that those two things juxtaposed off each other. And I really like that. I love the established rivalry, the veteran, the hatred that Thunder and Britt have for each other.
Oh, it's so good.
This one where it's like, okay, this could be a feud. This could be something between these two because we saw Ty was fired up, man. So really big fan. I think that the women's division, although we didn't get this, we aren't going to see a ton of matches at the pay-per-view. We're going to get some real quality at Revolution.
Yeah, and I'm sure Deeb will somehow be featured maybe in the buy-in or in other sense. But like I said, man, the overall package, the overall presentation of what Jade had to offer tonight, from her in-ring stuff to her power, and then that, you know, short promo. But what we saw after, she was my top performer of the night. And Jericho is your top performer, and I picked Jade Cargill as my top performer of the night because I'm loving seeing the growth in her. And I'm loving seeing just the dominance and the showboating, you know, even as I'm a babyface SPD, I'm enjoying and I can appreciate what she's doing. And it's a lot of fun to watch.
I love seeing Jade get a little bit of love for her growth and the work she's putting in. It's good to see her recognized because she could have easily rested on the fact that she looks like a million bucks. She's like, She was clearly getting a push based off of that aesthetic. She's a unique talent in the women's division just from a size and strength physicality standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. She's definitely growing. You just mentioned her starting to dabble in mic work. I had Jericho as my top performer because of that mic work. It's a rare thing where we here at Dynamite Download have a top performer that's not in a match. But when I think about this episode, I think about that Jericho promo. I honest to God, man, he absolutely was on fire tonight. I was blown away by what he was able to accomplish. A whole different side of Jericho. So I think both of us have unique
picks. Unique New York.
Shocking, given that we got to see Red Dragon pull off a big win tonight. And we had a main event that – was just an absolute banger. I said it before the show, guys. If you are a fan of technical wrestling, if you're a fan of that back and forth struggle, the mat work, the technique, these two put on an absolute clinic. It was so good to see. And you know, Daniel Garcia, Bryan Danielson said it best. There is that young Bryan Danielson vibe around Daniel Garcia, a guy who's no nonsense, who takes his in-ring work very seriously, who's very passionate about out-wrestling his opponent. And these two guys just went back and forth. I love, and I know Bryan Danielson's probably your favorite wrestler of all time. He's up there. I know when we talk about Mount Rushmore, he's up there in that conversation. He's definitely showing a nasty side to him. This violence that he's been pushing,
craving it.
I love and again, we've seen a lot of violence in AEW. I mean, we've seen death matches, we've seen, you know, lights out, unsanctioned matches. We've seen it all. But when you have a guy like Bryan Danielson who has an opponent locked in a submission hold. And then just booting them in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many times where he has a guy locked in. He did it to Garcia tonight. Locked in a hold, and he's just kicking him in the face. And he's hitting him in the face.
Yeah.
It's just a different level of violence. The guy is he's on his game, dude. He looks as good physically as he's looked in a long time. And he's got that swagger about him where he's trying to prove a point. Got to be eating this up as a big BD fan, huh?
Oh, absolutely, man. I think this was I'm liking how they set the stage for this match where it was promo showing on another promo, then it set for the main event. And the commentator team was hyping this match up insane, man. They were selling this match like it was, you know, going out of stock. Could this be the match of the year? So highly anticipated. Oh my gosh, what a match. I mean, yes, it was a great match and one I was really looking forward to because Daniel Garcia is easily one of the more underrated in-ring performers in AEW.
Young
and we are growing bigger and bigger fans of him every single week with what he's doing. And for him to get a main event spotlight was fantastic.
Huge.
And love the pairing with 2.0 that he gets, because he has these over the top eccentric, you know, tag team giving us all a taste. And then he can just be this serious guy.
Yes.
But yes, the great technical wrestling that we got out of this match, the striking that was trading back and forth, you know, the constant, you know, submission,
yes,
you know,
fluid,
trading submissions back and forth. And then for Danielson to do another flex pin or flex victory tap out, was absolutely just another kind of like a spit in the face, but just to show how, you know, he's just going through these young up and comers, just kind of like, yep, check him off the list. Another next victim, because this was, you know, barely broke a sweat. But this one, well-deserved main event by Daniel Garcia, absolutely hands down. I think I love the chop battles and I love the kicks battles. This match definitely featured SPD's chop of the night for sure.
Ooh,
and so
when
back and forth.
On the show.
I know Penta's on the show, but I honestly, you know,
I agree.
There was some good chops in the battle royal. Dax can throw a mean chop as well.
Yes,
so definitely SPD's chop is the night. Did you love this main event like everyone else did? And then what the story happened after it?
Yeah. I'm a big Daniel Garcia believer. I think that he's one of the young guys on this roster. And again, easy to get lost in the shuffle when there's CM Punk and MJF and countless big names.
Sure.
But this is a kid who I see a ton of upside in. And for him to be able to go in the ring with Danielson, who I really think, you know, let's remember, this was a guy when in his initial pitch to Moxley, about teaming up, this was a guy that he mentioned. And there's a reason for that, because he's got that approach, like you said, the no-nonsense vibe to him that really it stands out in a company that has a ton of over-the-top characters, a guy who just kind of focuses in on getting dirty and doing the work and the grind. I like that hustler vibe to Garcia a lot. And it really was like the best of the past or, you know, present going against the future. I think there's a little bit of a baton passing here. Not official, obviously. There's a long way to go for Danielson's career. And Garcia is still, I think, going to take some time to really age and fill into his role. Yeah. But you could see this was one of those things where Danielson purposely wanted a match with this kid. And I could see him wanting to go in the ring with him to teach him a lesson, but for his own good. This was one of those things where Garcia, maybe some of it's because of his Team 2.0 friends, his teammates, but he can sometimes get off, you know, and think that he's further ahead than he is. And this was a humbling a little bit. Like, you got a ways to go, kid, you know. And I liked the story of this match. And the post-match, having Team 2.0 attack Danielson, you know, I love that, like that 3-on-1, they've made that their trademark, the beatdowns. But for Moxley to make the save and the way that they did it was so perfect. Wild Thing blaring over the loudspeakers, and Mox is just coming through the crowd, just a ball of fire, beats the crap out of everybody. Music's still playing while he's going off. And that paradigm shift that he delivered to Garcia, it was like a pile driver. It was unbelievable. He lifted the dude straight up and dropped him on his freaking head.
It was so great.
Really amazing stuff. And dude, like, here's the thing. You got Moxley and Danielson at the pay-per-view going one-on-one, which is going to be a home run match.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still the dangling that carrot, buddy. They're still dangling that carrot. Will these two pair up? Will these two create that ultimate team that we saw a taste tonight? Mox made the save. Danielson then repaid the favor by grabbing the chair out of Garcia's hands, saving Mox from a chair shot. We got a taste of how great those two guys can be together. Really, like that alone, another thing that AEW does so well is the layers of the story. You have so many things going on in this one now The stage is set. Mm-hmm. Can Mox get the big win over Danielson, right? Can he be the guy? Can he finally check that one off of his bucket list, right? There's so much.
I know.
Much
he here. Hasn't been able to yet. He's so not been able
I,
to.
I love the layers. You know, I love the layers. So
this was the fact that they are just keep giving us, you know, building blocks to an ultimate, you know, masterpiece of revolution that's in store.
Building blocks.
It's incredible, man. And it's one of those. Rampage is going to be another great episode.
Can't wait to talk to you about that one.
Yeah, we're going to have to touch base on about Rampage.
Crazy.
But stay tuned, everyone. We're going to wrap things up for Dynamite Download episode 74, but stay tuned to our channel
tomorrow.
This week. We have a interview lined up tomorrow night with Austin Gunn of the Gunn Club. And so stay tuned to our Twitter and our YouTube channel for posting that. We're at TBD when we'll post it. Maybe we'll post it tomorrow night or Friday sometime. So you can go into the weekend just before Rampage, we'll post it. But definitely will be out soon. We got some great questions in store and we can't wait to talk to him. It's been in the works for a few months. And it's going to be a blast. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in to episode 74 of Dynamite Download. And once again, reminder, we're sticking to one show a week for now for the time being. Mr. The New D.A.D. Is there with his young son. So we're going to keep one show a week and hopefully get a couple more interviews on the books. But love you all. Thank you all for tuning in. And we hope you enjoy our interview coming up.
See ya.